Michael Tranmere here, welcoming you to the Wake Up Podcast, where you will learn expert strategies and hear expert stories to help you wake up, live your best life, and make every day count. On this podcast, we will deep dive into all aspects of business, relationships, health, and mindset that will help you achieve your greatness in all areas of your life. Buckle up, my friends. It's time to wake up.
Hello, good people. Thank you for taking the time to join me today. We have a firepower of a guest here today. Sean Wells is the world's greatest formulator. This dude is a biochemist. He's a dietitian. He's a sports nutritionist. And he's a self-proclaimed biohacktivist, and he's going to tell us all about that. And what Sean really focuses on is optimizing health and longevity for the people that he works with. And I ask him a really personal question about some goals that I'm trying to achieve about longevity towards the end of the interview. So be sure to stick around for that. And he gives a really great answer that I loved. He also helps the people he works with reduce pain and live their best life. We talk about keto, we talk about paleo, we talk about fasting, and we really talk about something that both of us are passionate about, is really human consciousness and really biohacking your morning and the mindset of success and brain health. It's incredible how, even though he's a formulator and he creates all these supplements and they do amazing things, he also balances all of that with this real power that we have within us to generate a beautiful, healthy life and have that longevity. And I ask him towards the end, and he gives a great answer about what is the most important thing for anti-aging. And you're going to love his answer. So without further ado, my good people, Sean Wells, the world's greatest formulator. On we go. Yes, here we go, good friends. Here with friend of mine, Sean Wells. You guys are in for a real treat today to really extract some of the wisdom that's going to come out of Sean. Sean is the world's greatest formulator, biochemist, dietitian, sports nutritionist, and biohacktivist. What is a biohacktivist, Sean?
It's a term I created. I think you know the mashup term biohacker, hacking your biology, trying to extract more performance or longevity out of your life with shortcuts. But there's also another mashup term that's been used in the modern age called hacktivism. And, you know, you think of Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, Anonymous, you know, the groups like that. And they're hacktivists, right? And, you know, whether you like those guys or not, the idea is that they are hacking for the social good. And I like this idea of mashing up the mashups and being someone that not only is, you know, usually biohacking is about self-quantification, like trying to just better yourself. But I like the idea of the better self leading to a better society. Like when you're heads up and you're thriving instead of just surviving, you can help other people. You can be more aware of the problems that people are going through and be an active listener and have empathy and, you know, help them self-actualize on their path. Like, it's just, I think if you're going to be someone that's better, you need to be someone that's better for other people.
Love that one. So your journey, we're going to dig into it a little bit here, but your whole platform, if you will, is to become better yourself so you can help those around you become better as well. And within that, I think your whole banner is really optimize health and longevity.
100%. Yeah, 100%. So it's all about getting more out of life, but more out of life means helping others. I truly believe you have to apply your gifts and you don't feel self-actualized unless you're helping other people. So
Wicked. And so what is this? What does this sound like? What does this look like? What's the real problem that you're trying to solve? What are the symptoms that you and your work and your mission are trying to solve for other people? What are the symptoms that are out there that people that you see are really struggling with?
Well, I work with CEOs and people like that on rebranding. And I think it has like a lot of application here. Like, because I've helped companies go to acquisition in the supplement food and beverage space. And I've helped, these high level entrepreneurs, retrain their brain to enjoy what they love again, kind of using the Donald Miller building the story brand mentality. But, biohacking, that's like you think of shortcuts, you think of cold plunge and, NAD IVs and infrared saunas and, bulletproof coffee and, these kinds of things, right? But I think mindset is the biggest thing. Really, the basis for all of this is, the foundation, if you will, has to be mindset. And most successful people have a strong morning routine, one, mm-hmm. and they are great reframers. So they don't look at failure as failure. They look at it as an experiment. And now I know what it's not, and I'm going to check that box and keep going. And they don't get hung up on quote unquote failure. So they reframe, they look at things a little differently, and reframing is so critical. If you see someone who's truly successful, they're great reframers. So some of what I would do with someone, if I was going to really work one-on-one with them and want to see ultimate results, it's not about bulletproof coffee and NAD IVs. I mean, that's all cool. But it's about retraining your brain and having gratitude, mm-hmm. Doing like a gratitude journal, planning your day out the night before. Mm-hmm. It's about daily affirmations. Like, the words that you're saying to yourself typically are so negative, and we're reframers typically in a negative way. We need to change that in a positive way, so that we hear our voice as a positive voice in our life. So often our voice is the most negative voice in our life. If anyone talked to us like we talked to us, we wouldn't be their friend.
Wow, it's so true.
So we need to shift that, and you need to like have mantras that, some people have vision boards, right? And that's cool. Like, it's cool to see your goals and look at them repeatedly every day. But we also need to hear the positive things from ourselves. And just like it's important to have the five people around you, and you're the product of the five people, and they need to challenge you and be mentors and be, the right people that you consciously choose and put around you with intention, that's awesome. And you definitely need to do that. But you also need to be your own advocate. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle the most is with that inner voice. So they need to change that voice and practice using that voice, and also be able to quiet the voice and just be still sometimes. We don't get into what's called the parasympathetic nervous system too much, with the rest and digest. We're always go, 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 push, 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 distracted, looking at cell phones, looking at TV, just never stopping. And we're not good anymore at the deep breathing, the prayer, the meditation, the going inwards, like doing, a float tank or, this kind of stuff. Like, it's hard for us now. We can't even do it. So those are some things that I would work on is retraining the brain first. And compliance is everything. Like, if you don't love yourself, if you don't have the will, the ability, the patience, you're not going to be able to do any of this stuff. So you need to start there and retraining your brain.
Yeah, there's a little bit of discipline built in there. And everything you just talked about, I have only brought into my world in the last year and a half. And to hear you say it, and to hear people continue to say it, that it's, it's not some quick fix or quick bulletproof here or one that float tank over here or whatever it is. It's these simple things, all of which are within ourselves, within our own mindset. And to hear you say that, and for me to continue to say that and teach that to other people, It's great. And for what would you say work with when the mindset starts to go a little bit sideways, when they start to have that negative self-talk? And I'm really thinking about myself, and when I start going down a squirrely hole that I don't want to go down, what's the best thing that you would recommend for someone to do in that situation?
That's when it's important to have the mentors, the coaches, the people around you. I think it's critical to have like some kind of life coach or health coach, whatever you want to call it, in your life that you can call, that you're interacting with a few times a week, that is challenging you, that can also be a voice that listens to you. That's a critical piece, that when you hit this wall and you have a lot of negative self-talk, that you can have someone that, you know, redirects you and reframes for you until you'll get better at it over time. But sometimes you need someone to do the reframing for you and walk you through it step by step. Like, let's take a step back, take a deep breath. Let's walk through this and look at the reality of this. And quite frankly, challenge is something that's so deeply needed. All the things that I've been through, I've had all these autoimmune conditions. I've been bullied. I've been overweight. I've had a brain tumor. I've had worked 80 hours a week for forever. I've been laid off of jobs. I've had suicidal thoughts. It's been a struggle to get here. But I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be on this podcast right now unless I went through that. I wouldn't empathize with people that are struggling unless I went through that. The obstacle is the way. Mm. You know, that's the stoicism idea. And, you know, in science, it's called hormesis, like where you're forcing adaptation through adversity. Right. And that's how we get stronger. And you don't want to, there's like a Bible verse that I think is like, don't wish for an easier life. Like, you know, basically wish that you had greater strength. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of that same idea. Like, you know, like someone who's like, you know, got all the money, all the looks, like the life, and, you know, they have no challenge in their life, they'd be a horrible person. They wouldn't have much ability or empathy or, you know, someone that could deal with extreme adversity. But, you know, someone that's been through so much, I mean, those are the stories we love, right? Mm-hmm. The Rockies and the Rudies and the Karate Kids and the, you know, whatever, like we love the comeback story. Mm-hmm. And that's something we deeply identify with because everyone's dealing with something. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an important perspective to keep. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I want to build on that to help understand your story a little bit more. You touched on some of those incredibly hard moments that you've been through in your life, and sounded like some of them were more than just moments, big collection of long moments. How did you get here? Where did you come from? And what were some of those pivotal moments in your journey that really, I guess, sounds like forced you to reframe and forced you to be stronger and helped you build into your mission that you're really following today?
Yeah, I grew up like an unpopular kid in school, and I was pretty smart, but I struggled with all the social stuff, and I was a junk food junkie, I think, as a result of just being bullied, and maybe bullied because I was a junk food junkie and fat, you know, so... I got made fun of a lot, and it was difficult, through middle school and high school. And then when I was in college, I was getting my business degree, and, things were going pretty well, but I stumbled into nutrition and I started working out and getting passionate about supplements. And I went to my doctor, between my sophomore and junior year, to get my physical for college. And I told him about this crazy passion that I had about supplements, and he saw like my joy, and he threw out this lifeline that says, why not be happy? Between 20 and 80, he threw out this lifeline, 20 to 80. And he said, why not be happy between here and here? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. Like, that literally changed my life path. And he gave me permission to go pursue my joy. I mean, I was doing well in business school. I thought, you know, that's what you do. Like, you know, go out into the real world, make money. But I'm like, wait, I could do this for a living. I could do supplements. I could formulate products. That seems so niche, so crazy. Mm-hmm. But that's what I decided to do. And I finished up my business school and went to UNC Greensboro to try and get all the credits I needed to get into Chapel Hill, which is where I wanted to get a master's. And kind of on the flip side, a guidance counselor there told me, you're going to fail and fail miserably. Wow. You're a business student. You shouldn't even do this. And luckily, I didn't listen to him. I did all the classes. I got it all done, 26 credit hours a semester, straight A's. I got into Chapel Hill. But he almost took my dream away. And I'll tell you, like, I mean, the point of it is, like, your words can, like, make or break someone. You don't even know. You don't even know. Like, that doctor doesn't know what he did for me. Mm-hmm. And that guidance counselor doesn't know that actually that night I almost killed myself. Mm-hmm. Because I was listening to him and I almost gave up on my dream entirely. And I was putting so much of my energy into it. And it felt like he was taking it away. And luckily I chose to not kill myself. And as I felt very lonely and depressed at that exact moment, but I ended up, you know, getting my resolve and getting my strength and finishing up, you know, at UNC Greensboro and going to Chapel Hill. But while I was at Chapel Hill, I got Epstein-Barr virus. And it hit me hard, which is known as mono. But, you know, some people get, you know, a little tired from that and it can last a little while, like, you know, a week or a month or 2 months maybe. But for me, it led into a bunch of like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, Hashimoto's. Like, it hit me really hard. And again, I had suicidal thoughts because I couldn't even get out of bed. I had extreme pain and inflammation for months, and I wasn't sure I was going to ever be able to be productive again or finish up my degree. And that's when I stumbled into the keto diet. This was 20 years ago, and that helped me so much. I was able to get out of bed, I was able to go back to class, and it reduced my pain and inflammation and helped me lean up as well.
Nice.
But it was hard. Like 20 years ago, there wasn't as much, you know, there wasn't like the communities and the recipes and the cool products. And, you know, so it was hard when I was on my own and doing all this stuff to like really stick tightly to the keto diet. So it was about 8 years ago that I got a brain tumor called a pituitary adenoma. And that's when I got very strict about being on keto, doing paleo, doing intermittent fasting, making sure my supplement routine was dialed, like really starting to think about mindset and just, you know, taking my health seriously. Cause you know, that was, I think, 37 years old, you know, that I was at the time. So, you know, I was getting more advanced in my career, but also like starting to think about turning the 40 corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, life gets a little bit more serious at that point. You know, you care more about your health.
That's incredible. That is for sure a journey, but it's you know, I'm obviously very grateful that you're here and you're continuing to share all your wisdom and all that emotion that you've pulled through all those hard times and how you can relate to others that you help with. Now, so let's dig into the nuts and bolts of keto and paleo and fasting for the good people listening. And we're going to use me as a case example, because I have started to say to those around me that I'd love to live to 119 years old, so I can see the year 2100. And I think, like we've talked about right now, just by me saying that and proclaiming that, I believe that's a good place to start. But there are some other healthy, obviously healthy living and healthy acting and healthy being that I need to live for the next so many years to make that happen. So let's start with keto, and then we'll go paleo, and then we'll go fasting. Why keto and why is it so great?
So keto, you know, I think most people get hung up on it's like some trendy diet. And the diet has been around for about 100 years with epilepsy. And, you know, more recently we've heard about it with weight loss and diabetes. And then very recently we're hearing about it with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and cancer and all kinds of things. One of the reasons it's so effective at so many disease states is it's a fuel source. Keto is ketones, and ketones are an alternate fuel source to glucose. And we are so, you know, glucose driven in our society because all we do is eat carbohydrate all, and we eat all day long, and we're very sedentary, and we don't have much fiber. And we have like these sugary beverages and foods and ultra processed foods. And it's a very weird state. So keto isn't some trendy thing to me. Keto is anything that raises ketones. And we used to probably be in ketosis 50% of the time, where we would fast either by choice or because we couldn't find food and we were starving. We would eat low glycemic foods that are high in fiber or resistant starches, like a raw potato is a resistant starch, a green banana is a resistant starch. A lot of the foods that are actually in their cold or raw form that are starches are actually resistant starches that have no glycemic effect and feed the gut. Further, we would have maybe in the winter probably eaten animals. And it was also more difficult to hunt animals and to plant food and prepare the food and chase after the food, you know, and we would have been expending a lot of calories. We would have been going longer without meals. And now we eat ultra processed food that is high bliss point, which means it triggers dopamine and serotonin so that you overeat. It overrides satiety signals so you don't feel full. And, you know, it's high fat and high sugar, which doesn't occur in nature, like to trigger all this crazy stuff in your brain. And which means it's high calorie and it's also, you know, shooting up insulin, which is creating more fat storage. So we're like really in this weird day and age where like the trendy diet, like the new trend is ultra processed food to me. It's not keto. It's ultra processed food. And along with the ultra processed food, we get GMOs, antibiotics, RBGH, RBST, artificial sweeteners, colors, flavors, and on and on and on. And it's not weird to be keto. Like we should have ketones as a fuel source. But because glucose is so elevated so often, it's triggering what's called glycation, which is blood sugar damage, inflammation, and oxidation. And all of this leads to more rapid aging, biological aging, and then leads to basically all disease states. Wow. And when we back off and lower our blood sugar and lower insulin and provide this alternate fuel state in ketosis, then we repair mitochondrial dysfunction, which is cellular energy, ATP, and we lower glycation, we lower inflammation, we lower oxidation, we reduce biological aging, we reduce our disease risk. So this is why it's so impactful, and keto is more, I guess, like a bigger thing than just a diet. It's much bigger than that. Like getting in ketosis is much bigger than just losing some pounds.
In the work that you do, in the work that you help people with, have you landed on an ideal diet that perhaps has keto and paleo linked into it? Like, do you have a formula, being the world's greatest formulator? Do you have a band of foods that you recommend people stick within for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And perhaps breakfast doesn't happen because that's perhaps some fasting going on there. What is
exactly,
that like?
Exactly.
What should I eat every day to live to 119?
I do. So one, I'm working on a book with some of that stuff right now. Two, I do believe fasting is pretty core. Like you said, I like starting with intermittent fasting. You don't have to do extended fasts and all this stuff. I mean, down the road, that's fine. But just a 16 and 8 where you eat 8 hours and you don't eat for 16.
Yeah.
And you're already sleeping 8, supposedly, you should be.
Yep.
And then the other 8 can be paired. However, I think it's easy to do, like, you know, maybe from 6 p.m. Until 10 a.m. or whatever that is. So, like, that's fairly easy. Mm-hmm. And I like, actually, according to some research on circadian rhythm, only eating, like, using that feeding window, the time-restricted feeding, only during daylight hours. It's not natural. It actually messes with your circadian rhythm to eat during the hours when it's dark. So if you're going to pick your feeding window, make sure it's during the daylight hours. So that's why I like stopping like around 6 o'clock, because you can do that year round, and then, you know, eating like at 10 or so. So that's not hard. And I think it's very impactful. It increases something called autophagy, which is cellular detox, cellular cleanup. Basically, like, if you're on your cell phone, right, and you're always on it, and you're, you know, just got it on full brightness and got 10 apps up, and you're going, your battery dies like super quick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you need to get off your cell phone so that it lasts longer and it doesn't get too hot and it doesn't, like, you know, run the battery down and all that kind of stuff. And it's the same idea. Like, you sometimes you need to just be in that rest and digest parasympathetic mode and let your batteries recharge. And that's what happens, is there's autophagy where it cleans up the cell, and there's even something called mitophagy where it cleans up the mitochondria. And this is a key point of anti-aging, is that cellular cleanup, that true cellular detox. So it's important to fast. And obviously there's a caloric restriction component to fasting, where you're not snacking, where you're not eating.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's good. And that allows you to have less calories. And again, like, insulin is down and blood sugar is down and inflammation is down, oxidation's down, glycation's down. So this is powerfully anti-aging.
Fasting is wonderful for anti-aging.
It's also a willpower builder.
That's right.
You know, like,
that's right.
And not just directly, like, with, wow, I didn't eat something when I felt hungry, or other people were eating and I chose not to. Mm-hmm. That has a bigger implication. Like, when other people are doing something and you say, no, I don't need to do what they're doing, it's mm-hmm. going to have, like, more impact in other areas of your life, where you'll have greater willpower to make decisions that are somewhat difficult to make.
Same with finishing those showers cold and jumping in cold lakes. That helps with the old willpower muscle. I love doing those. I the only really time I get frustrated in my world is when I'm traveling or I go somewhere and the shower doesn't get cold enough. So
yeah, exactly.
A real first world problem.
So that's the hormesis thing. Like, and the greater your ability to deal with physiologic stress, the greater your ability to deal with mental stress, and vice versa. Mm. So, you know, those have an impact on each other. So you taking cold showers helps your ability to deal with a stressful situation. All those pathways get fired up one way or another, and it's your body's ability to deal with those things, have more what's called resilience. So yeah, that's really cool. The other thing that I would suggest too, that's super simple, is, you know, I was talking about ultra processed food, and that's the new thing, is just eating whole food. I think keto is a step that you can do after you might do exercise, eat whole food, and just do some intermittent fasting. Then you can look at keto. Mm-hmm. But I think you need to detox off of ultra processed foods that are high bliss point, that are addictive.
What's an example of that?
So, like, when you walk in the convenience store, it's the store of addiction. All the colors, the caffeine, the sugar, the alcohol, lottery, the smoking, the whatever, it's like all like a store of addiction. And like I said, it's like quite often it'll be ultra concentrated sugar, acid, bubbles, you know, flavor. Like they even make the flavor like so that it hits you on the front end, but it's empty on the back end. So you keep drinking the soda, chasing the flavor and sweetness. Like it's a science and it's meant to have you be addicted and overconsume. So you need to like break that addiction and start eating whole foods and not even like recipes with like healthy foods. I mean, like even trying to eat one food at a time, like, you know, whatever it is. And again, you don't have to be keto. Like most of the world doesn't eat keto and they're pretty healthy. It's just the problem is we're eating ultra processed food. We're sedentary. We're, you know, not like not exercising, but also like sitting at a desk, like just slumped over. And, you know, it's horrible, like what we're doing to our bodies. So
it's, I mean, at a esoteric level, at a higher level here, it's just also mind-boggling that those items exist in convenience stores and any sort of stores. It's, you know, we know they're not good for us. How can those be available to humans this day and age? And that's, you know, relatively simple simplification and a real way to the root problem. But that's a big battle to fight. And I really have a lot of respect for those that are out there fighting the good fight.
Well, capitalism's built off of like impulse and addiction, right? Like that's, they want you to keep buying, keep consuming whatever it is and not to think about it too much and just stay in the cycle. So
I had this conversation. I was in Toronto on the weekend going out to brunch with a friend of mine. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really eating right now. Can we just go somewhere and have a glass of water and then order an empty plate of something? Do they have fasting restaurants? No, it's not really going to work, but it's that balance between the two. So let's say I do my 16 hours of fasting. I'm going to get up and have my decaf espresso because that's what I love. My go-to right now is ultra processed bread and peanut butter because I love my peanut butter. And, you know, I know there's a better option for the bread, but what's a good lunch for people to have? Let's say they make it a good part of the way through the morning and they get to lunch and they want something healthy, but something that's going to energize them through the rest of the day.
Yeah. I think, something like a salad, with keto, you can have the ranch dressing or blue cheese dressing or olive oil and vinegar. Stay away from balsamic, which is filled with sugar. Yeah, I know. That's, everyone loves that one. This is the tasty one because it's filled
with sugar. That's why, like ketchup.
but you know, you can, even if you're at like a bar and you got to get, you know, bar food, you can have a burger on lettuce, you know, mm-hmm. without the bun. Mm-hmm. And you can still have the bacon and the cheese and the whatever, just leave off the bun and make it a salad and you're good to go. Like it's not that hard. It's not that complicated, to leave out the carbs. So, I think also like if you were going to have breakfast, there's the standbys like bacon, eggs, sausage, omelets with vegetables. You can do, sardines are amazing. Those are high in omega-3s. They got the calcium with bones. Like, they're pretty tasty, like, or the smoked clams or things like that. Those are things you can eat. You can be vegan and be keto. You can have the nuts and the vegetables and the avocado and the coconut oil and, you know, things like that. It's, you have a lot less options. It's harder to be vegan, but it is doable. And then in the evening, I would have something like you could have steak or salmon or, and you can add butter, to the steak and you can have, you know, some kind of heavy cream based sauce for the salmon and it's tasty, you know, and you can have that with the broccoli or the cauliflower and it's really a delicious way to eat. It's not actually that hard. But it's hard when we're surrounded by donuts and candy bars and cookies and cakes to deny those things. But as far as like if you're at your own house, you can feel very satisfied and feel like this is a delicious diet. But
yeah, and for me, like I have to build that accountability in. So I make a point of not bringing those things into my house. I make a point of getting vegan food delivered. So I'll eat that for half the week. And like, these are my options when I get hungry during the day. These are my options in the fridge. They are good options. Exactly. But I need to build in that accountability. So where would you say is, and just sort of pull this all together, where would you say is the one main place where people go wrong?
Wow. That's a great question. With fasting, I think it's not understanding how to fast correctly, like having that first starting like with that time restricted feeding window, and then not having beverages that may contain fat or protein, trying to stick to what's called just a strict wet fast where you have maybe water and you can have some sodium, like if you start doing extended fasting to keep your electrolyte balance up. With keto, I think it's that people don't get enough fat and they're eating too much protein. Too much protein can cause something called gluconeogenesis, where you start converting the protein to glucose. And so you need to keep your protein at a moderate level, like between 20 and 30% of calories, and then up your fats. So, you know, having more like of the heavy cream, the butter, the olive oil, the, you know, whatever, and, you know, making sure you get enough fat. But it's really easy to just overconsume on like the meat or the proteins or whatever. Like, and that's kind of more like what a lot of people would do on Atkins. A true keto diet is more like the initiation phase of Atkins, where you're very strict and very low carb and more, more moderate on the protein. Let's see. And then with paleo, I think like with all these diets, mm-hmm. that you have to detox off of the processed food. You can still have junk food on keto. You can still have junk food on paleo. You can still have junk food on any diet. Vegan, you can have Coca-Cola and gummy bears.
Yeah.
I mean, that's vegan, but it's not good for you.
It ain't.
So, you know, and same with like, I don't know, carnivore. You could have like bologna and hot dogs.
Yep.
And that's not necessarily good for you either. And, you know, it all traces back to like, can we like eat whole food and, you know, have more healthy options like that are kind of more in their true natural form. And that's always what it comes back to for me. I think that's the most important piece.
Love that. What are you most excited about what you're working on these days, Sean? What's the rest of 2019 look for you? It's August 2019 right now. What are you most jazzed about that you're creating, that you're going to bring out to the world and help a lot of people?
Well, I've been working with a publicist and I'm working on a book. I've been on TV a bunch this past week. Like, mm-hmm. I've really ramped that up, and I've done some documentaries. I'm speaking on stage all over the world. And it's not an ego thing. Like, this is really exciting to just get my message out there and start helping people on a broader level. You know, I love working one-on-one with people, but to impact people on a larger level is really exciting for me. And then with ingredients, you know, I started for 20 years. I've been formulating, but lately I've been patenting novel ingredients, and that's mm-hmm. really exciting. Like focusing on one ingredient and, you know, coming up with the science on it and patenting it and running it through some studies and having it really impact the world like in a large way. Cause I love focusing on certain pathways that are really important, like autophagy, like anti-glycation, like anti-inflammation, or, you know, some of the things I was talking about. Things that link, protect telomere length, which is anti-aging, or improve mitochondrial health, which is anti-aging. Those are things like I'm working on right now that are pretty exciting.
I'm glad you're working on those things and I don't have to figure out how those things work. I'm glad you're the expert. Is there anything that we didn't touch on in our chat had another message that you wanted to get across, or there's another topic burning deep inside that you'd like to touch on before we sign off?
Yeah, the number one, you know, going back to like it being mindset and being more simple, like as hacks, like the number one anti-aging pro longevity factor is actually with this Harvard study that's the most robust study in history. It's close to 80 years now. They've done generations of people. They've looked at blood work, demographics, genetics, the job, the geographic location, whatever, everything that they're doing to see like what determines longevity. And the number one factor is quality of relationships.
Wow.
So that's why some of these countries like Sardinia, Italy, or in Korea, like these blue zones, they're really good at like, not only, yes, they might have red wine and yes, they might have like a more Mediterranean diet, but they also sit down for 2 hours and they have fellowship with extended friends and family, like 10 people around the dinner table for 2 hours, and they prepare their own food. Mm. And it's a whole process that's filled. When you make your own food, you choose it with love. You prepare it with love. It's something special. And then when you sit down with those people and you have real fellowship, then that's therapy. That's connecting. That's empathizing. It's getting things off your chest that are like, you know, have stuck with you, that, you know, those are game changers in terms of your mindset. So that's really important, is to have that quality time with people. And, you know, you think about what's the ultimate torture. Like, what, you know, prison isn't even torture enough, right? What do they do in prison when you're bad? Isolation. And like, I've seen in nursing homes, like, you know, some of these elderly people that just, you need to be touched 6 times a day to feel human.
Wow.
So when you're not touched, like, you feel alone and unloved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, loneliness is actually one of the number one killers. And so the antithesis of that is that quality of relationship is the number one longevity producer. So, you know, try and consciously seek out quality relationships. Try and a quality relationship isn't just about people giving to you. It's about you giving to them. Mm-hmm. And you have to be mindful of that. Like, what are you bringing to the table yourself?
Yeah, you know, I love that you brought this in and that we can end on that. And I know for me, you know, and where I've been through the last year and a half, 2 years, you know, I've had to spend a lot of time alone, but I did spend a lot of time alone. And now I am being really conscious of, it takes effort, right, to reach out to the people we want to hang out with, to rebuild some relationships, to start new relationships. And that's hard for middle-aged dudes. But, you know, I'm making a point. I'm back in my hometown, Kingston, right now, making a point of taking the initiative and making the reservation with the boys to go out to dinner tomorrow night. But this is something that, and I'm so glad that despite of all these diets and supplements and formulas, we've ended on quality of relationships. That's such a great thing. So final question, my good friend, do you think I can make it to 119?
I do. I think it's very possible. You know, biohacking is a combination of two things that's really profound. It's just a cool relationship between these two things, that you have the cutting edge, like the stem cells and the IVs and the, you know, whatever, all this kind of genetic information and testing and these devices. But then you also have, it's about like unplugging. It's about grounding. It's about getting sunshine. Mm-hmm. It's about getting fresh air and cold showers. And, you know, these things that it's like, oh, like it's about gratitude. So it's a cool like combination of these two things. And I think if you tap into both of those things, our primal self and the technology we have that's available in medicine, and make the best of both, then yes, you can do that.
Love it. I was going to do it whether you said yes or no anyways, but I love how you've simplified things so much for the folks. Like, we have the technology on one side, but then we have this primal getting back to nature, spending time. I'm about to go jump in the lake right now, walking in the grass with our shirts off, having the cold showers, spending time in the sun, watching the full moon, doing those primal things that people really take for granted and get away from a lot. So I love where this has ended. Where, Sean, and thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and all that you bring to the world. Where can the people learn more about you if they want to work with you, or where can they hear you speak, or what's coming up for you in the next little while? Where find more of Sean Wells?
Yeah, so there's seanwells.com, my website, SHAWNWELLS. My Instagram is at Zone Halo, ZoneHalo. That's my company that formulates Zone Halo. And then I will be coming up. I have a speaking engagement at Health Optimization Summit, a biohacking conference in London in September. And then I do a biohacking retreat with Live Beyond in Iceland. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing another biohacking conference in Fort Collins, Colorado, at the beginning of October. So those are some of the things coming up.
Wicked. Exciting times, my friend. Well, I'm sure we'll talk again in the near future, but we'll have to do a follow-up episode in about like 81 years to see how to see how things are going along. But wish the rest of the best day to you, my friend. And yeah, really appreciate your time here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Okay.
Almost. Pressing stop.
Okay.
Thank you, valued listener, for tuning into another episode of Wake Up. If this episode has left you fired up and inspired to wake up all areas of your life, I have exactly what you need. I offer a powerful high-performance coaching experience to help you get committed to becoming the best version of yourself, clarity on all that you want to create in this lifetime, and the courage to manifest your dream life. If you are a high-performing entrepreneur or professional who wants to achieve greatness in your career, your business, your health, your wealth, your relationships, your mindset, then contact me today through my website, michaeltranmer.com, or through Instagram at michael.tranmer, to explore how my coaching program can benefit you. Are you a new wellness coach or interested in starting your own online business? I've got something for you amazing folks too. My signature group coaching program, The Complete Coach, will help take you from concept to clients in 90 days. Head over to my website, michaeltranmer.com/complete coach, to learn more and join the waitlist for the next intake. I appreciate you, good people. If you got great value from this episode, please support the show by subscribing and sharing on your social media feeds. If you share a screenshot on Instagram and tag me, I will be sure to share with all of my followers. Till next time, this is Michael Tranmer, helping you wake up, live your best life, and make every day count.